Well, hopefully I don't mess up tonight. Thank you guys for the opportunity to be able to preach. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to preach here. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14. I'll have you turn there, but let me tell you a little bit about what I'll be doing. I have one more semester left at PCC, Pensacola Christian College. It's in Florida. I have one more semester left, and I'll graduate with a bachelor's in computer information systems. So I'm really excited about that. I actually, long story, but I interviewed with North Bay Hospital about a month ago. I interviewed with them, and we started the interview, and they were like, you know, they were talking to me, and I was like, yeah, I have one more semester of school. And they were like, then why are you interviewing for this job? And I was like, I don't know. I just really wanted to, you know, give a shot at it, you know, and hopefully try to get the position maybe and then come back and work here. And they're like, oh, okay. And they thought about it, and there was two people, and they were talking, and they were like, okay, we'll just continue with the interview. I interviewed for it, and then they were like, I guess they were kind of blown away because they were like, we'll call you for a second interview. And I was like, okay, you know, that sounds good. And then after that, I got the second interview. They talked to me and put me through some scenarios and stuff. And then they were like, you know, Lorenzo, we really want you to work here. We just don't like your availability. And I was like, I get that. You know, I got to go back to school. But they were like, but we're going to give it a shot. And they gave me a hire date, a start date, and everything like that. I started working at North Bay in December. So I'm really excited what God's going to be doing. So I'll be here in Fairfield. So it's just amazing that I just, you know, applied, just hoping, you know, God would do something. He did something great. And I'm like really excited. So the Lord's just been so good to me, and I'm excited about it. And this church, guys, is so amazing. I'm so thankful for it. I remember coming here as a 10th grader and how the church has grown and seeing new people and what God's been able to do through Pastor Stone Street and what he's been able to do through the pastoral staff here. And he's just been a great pastor to me, and I love him. And Mr. Shampson being a great teacher. I didn't like him in chemistry, but you know what? I love that guy. He does a great job with the music and coming here and singing. And Brother Joe, he's an amazing youth pastor, and his wife, they were just so good to us. And Brother Nate, he was just such a good mentor to me, really, is just somebody we'll sit down and have coffee and talk with. And God's really been able to work in my life through this church, and I'm so thankful for this church. And when you come here every week, you know, just remember, man, don't take your church for granted. This is one of the most nicest places to come to and just to talk to people. The people here are so nice. So don't take your church for granted. I think of all the people that I was able to see, you know, like Edgar, you know, because this church was here and God was using this church, Edgar was able to come here, and now he's going to be in full-time ministry someday, you know. And, you know, and then you see Cynthia because Edgar, you know, invited his sister. And then you see Tamara. I remember Tamara's back there running the sound booth by herself. Praise the Lord. We love you, girl. You know, picking her up, I invited her friend to church, and then her friend invited her to church, and now she's here serving in the ministry. Like, God's doing some great things to this church. You know, and I just really want to encourage you guys, when you guys come here, you know, don't take your church for granted. God's doing great things here. But we'll be in Luke chapter 14. There was a man by the name of Michael Johnson. He was an EMT, and he decided that he really wanted to be a firefighter. He went through a firefighting school at 41 years old, and he graduated as a firefighter in 2014 in Brooklyn. It was time to fight his first fire. You know, he got his gear on, he got to slide down the pole and stuff and ride on the truck, you know, and he gets there, and he sees the fire, and he freezes up, he gets scared, and he's like, I can't do this, and he doesn't go into the fire. You know, some of the firefighters understood, you know, it's his first time, his first fire, it's kind of scary. So they go back, and then it's time for his second fire. You know, he gets his clothes on, he gets to slide down the pole, he gets to go onto the fire truck and go to the fire, and he sees the fire again, and he freezes up, and he doesn't go into the fire. The latest fright unfolded April 2nd as a three-alarm blaze happened on 78th Street in New York, and Johnson was ordered to come in, and he was one of the people on the hose. So there's three people on the hose because the hose is really heavy. But when it was time to grab the hose and pick it up, he froze up, and only two people had to carry the hose all the way up to the second story of the building and put the fire out. And it really scares people because he just sits on the sideline as the firefighters are fighting. They called him Tragic Johnson. There was one guy talking about him. They said, to have a guy that you know is afraid to go in there when you need him to be fighting for you, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. And you look at this guy, and He got to wear the firefighter outfit. He got to live in the quarters with the firefighter. He got to ride on the truck and everything like that. But when you look on the inside, he wasn't really a firefighter. He got to hang out with all the people. He got to do all the cool stuff. He had the little badge and everything, but wasn't a real firefighter on the inside. And tonight what I want to do is I want all of us to observe ourselves. I know this is kind of a tougher subject to talk about, and I know this is something that I've personally been working on in my own life, and when I read over this passage of scripture and God really spoke to my heart about it, I want to encourage you, because I know we live in a time where grace is great, and we all need grace for our relationship, and this is kind of like the grace age where we talk a lot about God's grace to us, because we do need it, and God's grace is important. But how many of you would agree with me that the Christian life takes some work? There's some things we're going to have to do. And Edgar did a great job last week talking about how God's going to use, you know, God's going to use you because his grace, he's going to use us. He wants to use people, you know, people that have sinned, people have done wrong, but God still uses us through his grace. But tonight I want us to take a look at ourselves and observe ourselves. I mean, this is the Sunday night crowd, right? Like, these are the faithful people that are here, and they really want to get in the word. They really want to hear it. But I want you to look inside of yourself, observe yourself. Don't observe anybody else. Observe yourself and say, am I a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It says this, and there was a great multitude with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Lord, at this time, I pray that you'd soften up the heart of the people and speak to their hearts like you spoke to mine. I pray that you'd use me and that it'd be your words. And I pray that your name would be honored and glorified and that we would want to live to be your disciples, to live to be more like you and to follow you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus wants people to follow him and to become his disciple. But some of us on the inside really aren't. You know what Jesus says at the end of every one of the passages of scripture that I read? It says, you cannot be my disciple. A disciple is somebody who follows God and learns things from him. And I want us to observe ourselves. I want us to look on the inside of ourselves and say, am I a true disciple of Christ? We're going to look at three observations and in the passage of scripture that I found to see if we're true disciples of Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to observe is our love. The first thing we need to observe is our love. Verse 26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So this verse is not saying to hate your mother and father and hate your brother and sister. Some of you guys are like, man, I can't hate my brother and sister. Like, darn, no. Like, you don't hate your brother and sister. This verse is just simply a comparison. This is, and a lot of you know this, but it's talking about how we should love God so much that it seems as if maybe you hate your father and your brother. Like, the comparison. You're going to love God so much that it looks as if it's hatred towards your parents. I mean, I have an illustration, I guess. It's kind of a weird one. I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid growing up, and I loved it. And I remember I got action figures, okay? These are wrestling action figures. They're not Barbies. They're not dolls, okay? They have muscles and abs and stuff like that, all right? This is a tough guy, all right? I remember I got this Undertaker action figure. It's like, he's been through the struggle, man. I had to glue his head back on. His ponytail came off. It was a struggle, but I had this guy for a while. And I remember when I first got him, I was pumped. He was beating all the other wrestlers in my eyes. He was beating everybody up, and he had all the titles. He was the best, right? I got him, and I loved him. He was great. And then I was like, whew, I think I'm in time. I think I needed some more wrestlers. So for Christmas, oh, yeah, I got The Rock. Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of abs. He's really strong. I got him, and I was thrilled. Okay, I love this guy so much. He beat The Undertaker. He beat every other wrestler. It was one match where it was him versus everybody else, and he still won. So it was great. He got all the belts and everything like that. And I was like, man, I love this dude. And then I was like, it's not that I didn't like Undertaker. Like, if somebody was to play with The Undertaker, like, one of my friends came over and to play with The Undertaker, I'd be like, no, that's not happening. Like, I still love The Undertaker. They're not touching The Rock, but they're not messing with Undertaker. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't that I hated The Undertaker. It's not that I didn't like Undertaker. It's that I like The Rock so much that to outsiders looking in, it looked like, man, I didn't really even like The Undertaker. But what's my point? I'm saying that we should love God so much. Our love for God should be so great that it looks as if, man, family and friends, like, that's how big our love for God should be. And let me ask you this question. How is your love for God today? How is your love for God today? The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. God is not valued at all until he is lifted above all. Let me say that again. God is not valued at all until he is lifted above all. Is God lifted above all in your life? And when I say all, I mean all. This includes your family. This includes your friends. This includes your job. This includes your money. This includes everything. Is God lifted above all in our lives? Jesus has to be everything we need. Jesus has to be enough. If you need more of Jesus, if you need more than Jesus, you need more of Jesus. If you need more than Jesus, you need more of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, your love for God has to be strong. And I talked to one of my coworkers about how, you know, I love my love for God so much, and I try to do things for him because I love him so much. And they're like, man, that's just not fair. Why do you have to love him so much? Why do you have to go to church? It's just not fair to you, right? It's your life. Do whatever you want. I was like, whoa, it wasn't fair when Jesus Christ was beat on. It wasn't fair when he was spat upon and he had his beard plucked out and he was nailed to a cross for you and for me. That's what wasn't fair. His love for you is clear. It's evident. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's so much love. God loved you so much that he was willing to lay down his life on the cross, to get nailed to a cross, to hold him there, to suffocate, and to die for you. And it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was love that kept him on the cross for us. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. My favorite verse is Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let me break it down for you. So he's saying, I'm persuaded that death's not going to separate us from the love of God. Life's not going to separate us from the love of God. Angels not going to separate us from the love of God. Principalities, powers, nothing present can separate us from the love of God. Nothing that's going to come is going to separate us from the love of God. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from God's love. That's an amazing truth, but let me ask you this. What's going to separate us from our love for him? Nothing can separate God's love for us, but what about our love for him? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's, I don't know, some boy or some girl. I don't know what's going to separate us from God's love, but don't let anything separate you from God's love. So what can we do? What can we do to have more love for God? You just have to ask and say, Lord, give me your grace and help me to have more love for you. Show me things that make me want to love you more. Because honestly, we're not going to be able to live the Christian life on our own. We think we can just love God, all of a sudden it's just going to come to us. No, we've got to ask God for help. Ask God to help us and say, hey God, I need you to show me your love so I can love you more. The first thing we have to observe is, we have to observe our love for God. The second thing we should observe is our stand. Look at verse 27. It says this, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We talked about a little bit of this when we were going through the Bad Blood series, and Brother Nate had the backpack, you know, and you have to kind of carry your own load. Like, we all have our own load. We all have our own things that are going on in our lives. And when it comes with life, we're going to have problems. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have struggles. There's going to be hard times. And God tells us that we have to bear our cross. And I remember playing football back in middle school. I was playing with some guys, and we would play two-hand touch. Amen. I'm too small to play the tackle or anything like that, right? So we're playing two-hand touch football. And this guy, man, you would think we're playing tackle. I mean, he's hitting everybody. He's grabbing people, throwing them on the floor. And I'm like, man, like, I get it. Football is fun. That's also Brandon, by the way. If you see Brandon, don't play football with him. He's going to tackle you. So we're playing football, two-hand touch, and I'm like, man, like, why are you so physical? Why are you so aggressive? He's like, hey, man, with football, man, it comes physicality, man. I was like, this is this is two-hand touch football, man. Slow down, relax, you know? But I thought about it, and I was like, what comes with football is going to be contact. Contact's going to come with football, and with life and with the Christian life, there's going to be heartaches, there's going to be troubles, it's going to be tough. It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be difficulties with knowing Jesus. How many of you agree that the Christian life isn't easy? It's not easy. God never promised that it was going to be easy. He promised us abundant life if we do it his way, but he never said that life was going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of things that we're not going to like. This month, my great uncle passed away. And that was the first person in my life that's passed away. I don't have a lot of family and stuff like that. So that was the first family member that passed away. And it was actually really tough, like a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. And that's just something in my life. It's my cross is going to be different than Brother John's cross or Joe's cross or Brother Kephart's cross. Everybody's cross is going to be different. Everybody's going to go through different things in their life. But it's not going to be easy. But we have to do it through Jesus Christ, through his power. And it's going to be different for everybody. I know for the teenagers, it's tough to go to a public school in this time, in this day and age. It's hard to be a Christian sometimes at a public school. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian at a Christian school. But it's hard to be a Christian at a public school, I'm sure, with people making fun of you like, oh, come on, man, you don't drink. Dude, I'm in high school. Oh, come on, man, you don't do this. I'm in high school. You know, and I know sometimes it can be tough, and you can get made fun of for what you believe. And sometimes it's going to be tough. But in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone that lives godly will suffer persecution. We're going to have opposition. We're going to have people that don't like what we stand for. But we've got to stand through that with God's power and God's grace and God's help and then bear our cross. I have a little math problem for you, okay? I didn't put it up there. So 1 plus 1 equals 2, okay? So if people in the world didn't like Jesus, plus you're like Jesus, equals people aren't gonna like you. Okay, so people in the world didn't like Jesus. You wanna be like Jesus. People aren't gonna really like you. Opposition's gonna come. Tough times are going to come, but we've got to stand in those times. We've got to have a stand for Jesus and say, you know what? I know what's going on. I know there's tough times. And guess what? Man, God is good. Tough times are going to happen, right? It's going to be tough, but we got to say, you know what? I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to stand for him because he says, if you can't stand, you cannot be my disciple. So the first thing we have to observe is our love. The second thing we have to observe is our stand for him. And the last thing we have to observe in our lives is our distractions. In verse 33, it says this. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Basically what God's saying is there's something in your life that's stopping you from following me. You've got to forsake that. You've got to move that out of the way. You can't let that get in the way of you and your relationship with God. To be a disciple of Christ, you must be in constant readiness to put things at disposal for the Lord. You know, sometimes it's going to be good things. Sometimes it's going to be sports. Sometimes it's just you're doing too much in church sometimes. Sometimes, I don't know what it is, but sometimes it's material things. Sometimes I don't know what your fleshly or whatever that distraction may be in your life, but there's going to be some things in your life that are going to kind of draw you away from God, and you got to say, hey, those fleshly distractions, those distractions that are in my way and between me and Jesus, they've got to go. You got to forsake those. I've told this story a couple times, and a lot of you guys know it. I used to go to the Christian school here. And me and Jesse, one of my best friends, lived together, and we went to school here. And we decided that we were going to wake up late today. We were going to be lazy. Well, this is kind of cool, walking down from the platform. I've never done this. I just became a big boy last time I preached, so. We're going to sleep in a little bit, so we got a little extra sleep. So we're sleeping, and we wake up a little late. My grandma's like, boy, you guys better get ready. I was like, all right. So we get up, and we're getting ready. I'm getting ready late, and we didn't have time to sit down and eat a bowl of cereal. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I'm kind of hungry. I got a couple bucks. I'm going to run to Jelly Donut around the corner and get a donut before I go to it. This is going to be great. I'm just going to get a nice cinnamon roll on it. It's going to be great. Like, I'm super excited about it. So I tell Jesse, bro, you ready to get a donut? He's like, oh, yeah, dude, we should go. So we're leaving. All right, bye, Grandma. I'm getting a donut. She's like, boy, don't you go get a donut. I was like, we got 10 minutes before school starts. And honestly, I live right around the corner. I can throw a rock from my house and probably hit the church. Okay, that's how close I am. And I'm like, come on, we could just grab a donut. No, go straight to school. Okay, all right, fine. So we're walking to school, and you know, teenage boys. You know, I looked at him, he looked at me. It's like, I don't know, man. That cinnamon roll is calling my name. He's like, nah. He's like, yeah, man, I've been trying to get this donut. I don't even remember what he wanted. So we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run. We're going to throw our backpacks at the church right in front of the church, and we're just going to run to Jelly Donut, grab the donut, come to school, eat it. We'll be fine. Okay, we have 8 minutes at this point. I'm like, bro, we got this. Let's go. So I'm running, throw our backpacks as we're crossing the church. We're running, go to the Jelly Donut. Waiting in line. Okay, we got 5 minutes. I'm like, hurry up. Okay, I see it. I want the cinnamon roll. And she hands it to me in this big thing, just a dollar. I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm so excited. Give him a dollar. Get it. And I'm like, super excited. And I'm licking my lips, you know, because I'm ready. This is about to happen. And I'm like, just one bite before I get to school would be fine, right? So I'm looking at it. And at the corner of my eye, I see a silver van pull up. And I'm like, that's funny because my grandma has a silver van, but that is... come on, that's not her. I look, and my mouth's open at this point. I'm like, and she's looking, no joke, this is how she was looking at me. And I was like, we are in trouble. So we go outside, and she's like, so, what you doing? I was like, you know, school was, this, you know, it's this. This isn't school? What? What? Homeroom? This isn't it. No. Didn't cut it. Let's just say we got in trouble that day. What was the point of that whole illustration? I was willing to let a donut distract me from doing what was right. My grandma was like, hey, do this. Because guess what? She was going to bless me with a donut. She was going to get up, get me a donut, and bring it to school. But... you know, me, I want to do it my way. You know, instead of listening to what was right, I let a donut distract me from doing what was right. And here's what I'm asking you. What is that donut in your life that's stopping you from fully following him? What is that thing in your life that slowly draws you away from being a true disciple of his? God says, hey, you have a distraction. Forsake all and follow me. Follow me. We need to get to the point where we want God more than we want anything else. We got to get to the point where we want God more than we want anything else. And that statement right there, I bolded in my notes because that's what I needed to hear. And now that I'm getting ready to graduate college, Lord willing, this semester, and I know that finances and stuff like that is starting to become like actually like real to me. The only thing I've been having to pay for is like my car and school. But now it's like finances are becoming like a big part of my life now. And I just need to keep in mind not to let material things, money and stuff like that distract me from what God wants me to do. Luke 12:15, it says, and he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It doesn't matter about the things that you possess. It matters what you do for him. Judas, he was a disciple, right? Right? But... if we were to observe his life, we'd see, man, the love of money was the root of all evil in his life. And he's like, man, I'm going to betray Jesus for this money. And something I've learned, that money isn't the goal in life. Jesus is the goal in life. Proverbs 23:5. Would thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as eagles towards heaven. You know, at the end of the day, all this stuff that's distracting us is going to fade away. It's going to go away. But what we do for Jesus and what we do now, you know, doing the photo booth and handing out school supplies and leading people to Christ and inviting people to church and having them get saved and things like that, that's the things that are going to stay. Everything on earth will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ, that's what's going to last. So let me ask you this. What fleshly distraction is going to keep you from being a true disciple of his? So what do we need to observe? We need to observe our love. We need to observe our stand, and we need to observe your distractions in your life. Observe yourself. That's really what I want to encourage you guys with tonight. Don't observe anybody else. I hope you weren't thinking about anybody else but yourself tonight. The last thing I'll say is, now you can't just walk onto an airplane nowadays. You can't just go onto an airplane and get on and sit down. There's some precautions. You've got to check yourself. Exactly right. You got to observe yourself. You got to look and say, man, I've got a knife. I'm not going to be able to get on the airplane. You know, if you have a bottle of water, you can't get on the airplane. If you have lotion, you can't get on the airplane. Toothpaste. There's some things you can't have to get on the airplane. You've got to observe yourself, and that's the thing that scares me. I know I don't have anything, but I'm just scared they're going to pull me to the side, they're going to have me like this, and then I'm going to be on the floor, and they're going to, I don't know. That's what scares me. But you've got to observe yourself before you get on an airplane. You can't just walk on. And God says, hey, in order for you to be a true disciple of mine, you got to observe yourself. Look at your love. Look at your stand for me. And look at those distractions that are in your life, because the last couple words in the verses are, you cannot be my disciple. So observe yourself. Observe yourself tonight. Let's pray. God, thank you.